Before World War II, Dresden was considered the most beautiful city in Germany. Last month, classical music critic Lord Schwartz went to a music festival there and remembered his first visit more than 30 years ago.
One of the most moving places I've ever been to was Dresden, the civilian city in eastern Germany that the Allies firebombed in 1945. Maybe most Americans know about this from Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five. I spent a day there on a summer vacation trip in 1966. I was a graduate student. I wanted to go to Dresden because the museum there had two paintings by Vermeer, my favorite painter, very few of whose works survive. In those days, to get into East Germany, even for a day, you had to go through a lot of red tape. Pun very much intended. It was a bureaucratic nightmare. But it was worth the effort. The museum was exceptional, with its great Vermeers, Rembrandts, Titians, and the famous Raphael Sistine Madonna, with its mischievous cherubs leaning on their elbows and eyeing the Madonna and baby Jesus floating on a cloud. Dresden had been one of the cultural capitals of Europe, the German Paris, with its grand palaces, onion-topped church spires, and elegant promenade overlooking an elbow of the Elbe River. In 1966, the city was still in ruins. You could look right through the skeletal steeples at the ugly apartment houses going up in the distance. The Zwinger, the magnificent palace which housed the old master paintings and the famous collection of Dresden porcelain, had miraculously escaped devastation, though the courtyard was still piled with rubble. The whole city was one of the most heartbreakingly beautiful ruins I'd ever seen. When I got a call from the German National Tourist Office inviting me to join a group of media people for a 5-day junket to cover the Dresden Music Festival, I was more than just happy to get a free trip and hear some interesting performances. Dresden was a city I already cared about. I wanted to see how it was doing. East Germany, as we know, even since the reunification, is not exactly thriving. The population of Dresden has been declining. I was told, though, that the Jewish population was on the rise, that there are now some 500 Jews living in Dresden, and a new synagogue is under construction. There are at least two other sources of hope for this city. The historical buildings are being lovingly restored, or, where restoration isn't possible, completely rebuilt. "This is one of our new old buildings," our guide said, pointing out the beautiful hotel, once a royal palace, where our group was going to have dinner. There are still signs of the devastation, but the magnificence of the historical district is slowly coming alive again. The other success is the Dresden Music Festival itself. It was actually started by the communist government in 1978. One of the first buildings the communists reconstructed was the spectacular 19th century Semper Opera House, which was still gutted when I was there in 1966. This year, the festival's theme was Baroque and jazz. We saw a fascinating but hard-to-follow high-tech production of Handel's opera Xerxes and a concert performance by the Dresden Philharmonic of Richard Strauss's mythological opera Daphne, which had its world premiere in Dresden. The conductor was Christoph Prick, who conducts in English-speaking countries under the name Perrick. Let's say he rose superbly to the occasion. One of the best concerts took place in a 400-year-old church, the Annenkirche, with glowing acoustics. The performers were the Baroque Orchestra of Freiburg, may be the most accomplished historical instrument ensemble I've ever heard, and the astounding young German countertenor Andreas Scholl, already a very big star in Europe. Chick Corea played a morning concert at the Opera House that the sellout crowd ate up, though between his unvarying up-tempo cheeriness and my jet lag, I snoozed through it. The liveliest concert took place in the courtyard of the Zwinger Palace, under a rich midnight blue sky, with the lit-up towers of the city rising above the palace walls. The lead performers were the rhythmically indefatigable 72-year-old Cuban singer Ibrahim Ferrer and 82-year-old pianist Ruben Gonzalez, the stars of the Buena Vista Social Club. 4,500 people clapped and sang along for 3 hours, and by the end, everyone was standing up and dancing in place. Even the girl reading a letter by a window in one of the Vermeer paintings across the courtyard must have looked out for a moment with an expression of sheer joy.
Lord Schwartz is classical music critic for the Boston Phoenix.